Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Whether you're first time, long time, or all the time, call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Chris McMonagle.
Sports Radio.
Sir, yes, sir. 11:26, Chris McMonagle here with you on a Saturday night. Saturday morning, Friday night. I don't even know what's going on. I'm usually on at 2 a.m., not 11:26. I apologize for that. Just add it to the list of mistakes and horrible happenings that took place over this Friday night. What the hell happened tonight? Tonight was a brutal night in every way, shape, and form. For every team we root for, everything, nothing could have gone worse than what happened tonight. All right, the Mets lose a tough one. It's okay. Yes, okay, you know, the Phillies played well, played defense well, fundamentals. Keith Hernandez somewhere, you know, getting laughed at, whatever. They've been playing so well, you can forgive that. But let's start with the game that we just watched, listened, heard the post game here on the Fan, because the Yankees lost an absolute heartbreaker, 3-2, to the Boston Red Sox, and this one really pisses me off. And I got to be honest, you know me, if you've heard me, if you see me on Twitter, you heard me on the show, on my own show, on Carton and Roberts with Evan filling in the last couple days. I am not in panic mode, and I'm still not in panic mode tonight. Not in panic mode right now. The Toronto Blue Jays lost again. The division lead is still 10 games. They're going to win this division. They're going to go into the postseason. They're going to have a bye. They're probably not going to have home field advantage over the Astros. They're probably going to be the two seed, and they're going to wait the winner of the Central Division champion and the third wild card. That is probably their lot in life, but right now they stink, and they're impossible to watch. And everything that was good about this team is now bad. They find ways to lose. They're right now, they are in a stretch where they are finding ways to lose. And we can harken back to last year, and we can talk about this, that. It's the offense that they, oh, it's been like this forever. This offense stinks. It's all or nothing. It's home runs or nothing. It's this and that. They don't come through in the clutch. Whatever you want to say. Right now, they are finding ways to lose baseball games. They were in command of this game. Yes, at only 2-0, and then yes, at only 2-1. They were in command of this game the entire game until there was one out in the ninth inning, and Clay Holmes yet again spit the bit. He's been terrible now going back his last 10 innings and 9 appearances. He's awful right now, and I am ready to move on from him as the closer for the moment. That's it. He blows the game. He comes into a lead. The Yankees have done. Here's what's frustrating about what's going on with the Yankees right now. And I know a lot of Yankee fans don't want to hear this and probably don't agree with it necessarily, but here's my take watching them. You can tell me how you feel at 877-337-6666. The Yankees aren't playing terribly in every aspect of the game right now. I was actually talking about my golf game with Joe Beningo. They're very much like my golf game, where I feel like even if I have everything else going, there's going to be one thing that ruins it for me. And that's where the Yankees are right now. The Yankees have pitched well from their starting pitchers over the last handful of starts. Since Montas got beat up in his first start, the starting pitching has been good. And yet again tonight, Herman, who nobody likes, and I understand why, with the domestic violence issue and everything else, and they traded away Montgomery, who won again for St. Louis, but he pitched well tonight. He threw the ball well. Six innings and one run. That's a good start. I guess, you know, the Red Sox stink, and they absolutely do, but their offense is pretty good. They've given up a ton of runs, and their bullpen's in shambles besides Whitlock. They've been a terribly, you know, they've been bad at pitching, but they can still score runs. And you go through the middle of that lineup, that is a tough lineup, and he pitched very well tonight. Cortez was great the other day against Seattle. Cole was great the other day against Seattle. The starting pitching has been pretty good now the last run through. Even Tyone was okay. The starting pitching has been pretty good. Most of the bullpen has been pretty good. That horrible night in Seattle where we're up till 4 o'clock in the morning watching them run the bases like morons and blow a game in late innings. That bullpen was great. They gave up no runs that entire game. They've been pitching well. They're still hitting home runs from Judge. He's been unbelievable. The offense has come up small, but there's something that's going to bite them, whether it's they're not going to score runs in the big spot, whether they're going to run bases like an idiot, like I just said before. And that's what's frustrating is because this team this year has been excellent at running the bases. It's been a profound difference from last year. Last year, they were awful running the bases. How many times did a runner get thrown out at third trying to advance on a ground ball in front of them? That stuff hasn't happened this year. They've stolen bases at a high clip. They've taken the extra base. Rizzo has been a great base runner. LeMahieu, guys like that aren't even fast. They take the extra base. They run smart. They've been very good on the base path. It's been a major improvement from last year, and now that's going down the tubes. Everything that can pop up in a game to cost them a game, it's happening. We can blame Boone all we want. I don't think it's Boone's fault. Tonight he goes back to Clay Holmes in the starter role. I was still okay with it tonight. If you were watching the game, so was the entire broadcast, whatever that means to you. You know, Cone was fine with it. Not only fine with it, expected it, wanted it. Same thing for O'Neill. I was fine with it too. But now after this performance, it's time to get him out of the closer role. And I know everybody hates Chapman, and I know it's going to take a while for him to earn back the trust, but he's been brilliant over the last seven appearances, and he looked great in this game tonight. They're paying him $17 million. He's been a closer his whole career. If you're going to bring him in the eighth inning in this situation, up a run, then there's no difference bringing him into the ninth inning. This isn't a young kid who's never closed before. This is the Yankee closer. This is the guy who gets paid $17 million a year to be the closer for this team. And over the past couple of months, he struggled, he was injured, he couldn't throw strikes. He lost the starter role, the closer role, to the best reliever in baseball for the first half in Clay Holmes. But now over the last, so many people are hesitant to say, oh, put Chapman back. I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. Chapman stinks. Chapman makes $17 million. He's been fine for the last seven innings, better than fine, dominant. And this isn't a young kid not used to the ninth inning. If you're going to pitch him in the eighth, why not pitch him in the ninth? Right now, the two best relievers, bar none, are Chapman and Peralta. Efros and Trevino have been okay. Trevino gives up the hit tonight to blow the game, but that's not really his fault. You're going to eventually give up runs in extra innings with a man on second. The Yankees can't seem to score any runs with a runner on second base. Seven consecutive innings. Do you know how hard it is when they made up this rule that I happen to like? When I first thought the rule was dopey, but seeing it in practice, I actually happen to like the runner on second. Another thing I'm in the minority about. But since that happened, and since they start the games with a runner on second base and extra innings, to go seven consecutive innings without scoring a run with a runner on second and nobody out is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And guys like Gleyber Torres, who started the year great with runners in scoring position. That was really his calling card to start the year. He was Mr. Walk-Off. They played promos leading up to every at-bat he had late in the innings in the game. He hit home runs. He hit walk-off doubles. He was kind of their clutch player despite not getting off to a great start. Still hitting 250, 260, but he came through in the clutch. He shined in the big moments. He was one of the odd men out, not playing every day. But in the big spot, Gleyber Torres came through. That was kind of the story of Gleyber Torres first 2 months of the year. Now he's awful. He's awful. Fastballs tonight right down the middle. I know they're 97 miles an hour. I know Whitlock is a good pitcher. They're fastballs right down the middle. Same thing for Donaldson. Fastballs right down the middle. I know everybody wants to scream, bunt, bunt. Oh, why don't you bunt? On the road, you don't bunt. Everybody's doing it. They've played how many innings now? In extra innings against Seattle and against Boston. Both teams, both home teams, All these innings with no runs scored, not a single other team has bunted against them. In all those innings in Seattle, Seattle didn't bunt once. Boston bunted in this game, but it was once the runner was already to third. They didn't even bunt the runner over with their eight hitter up. So please stop telling me they have to bunt. You can bunt. It's a strategy. The Yankees haven't done it because on the road, you're typically playing for the big inning. And in this game in particular, they're not going to bunt with Rizzo. They're not going to bunt with Judge, clearly. And then once he walks, they're not going to bunt with Rizzo. You're not going to do it. And everyone gets mad at the Yankees. Oh, the Yankees are the only team that doesn't bunt. They've played all these extra innings, not a single bunt against them. Not one. Seattle had all those scoreless innings. They didn't bunt once either. And they're the home team where that run wins the game. For the road team, what the Yankees have been, the run doesn't even win the game. It only gives you a lead. You're playing for a bigger inning than the one run of a bunt. You don't have to like it, but stop screaming about it. They need to come through with hits. And they haven't been. And seven consecutive innings without scoring a run is ridiculous. And it's so frustrating watching this team. It's just so frustrating. They're 7-14 since the trade deadline. They've been absolutely dreadful in every single way you can be. All the things that made them special to start this year. And yes, they were. And no, that wasn't a mirage. And no, that wasn't smoke and mirrors. They were that team for 3 months. That's who they were. It's who Yankee fans, like myself, and for those of you listening, hope they can get back to being. It's not foregone that they can't get back there. It's not that we'll never see that team again, or it was all nonsense, and it was smoke and mirrors, and they'll never see that team again. It's going to be a quick ouster in the postseason. I'm not there yet, but I can be frustrated now, in the moment, when they have relievers in the minor leagues in Marinaccio, who's better than the guys they have now. When Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees are making decisions, and you know how I feel about Brian Cashman. I love Brian Cashman. I think he's done a good job. He's going to have another team that's going to win a division and has a chance to win a championship, and that's really all I ask from my GM. It's tough to win a World Series. You never know who they were talking about Steve Pierce on the broadcast. You never know that Steve Pierce is going to go from banging his head, as Michael Kay was telling the story, banging his head on the bus with the Yankees because he's hitting 120 and he can't get a hit, and then when the Red Sox pick him up, he's going to go be the World Series MVP. It's hard to predict who those guys are going to be. It's hard to know who's going to be Scott Brosius and come over from Oakland as a 200 hitter and then drive in 99 runs and win the World Series MVP hitting home runs off Hall of Fame closers. It's hard to know who that guy's going to be. All you could do is build a team that can win a division and you hope they can win in the postseason. And that's what this team has done. So before we get all crazy about what they can be, what they will be, and what we know they're going to do, we don't. What I know now is that Brian Cashman, despite what I just said, is making sure he has the best 40-man roster instead of the best 26-man roster. And that's frustrating as you watch them go 7 games under 500 in the last 21. That's frustrating. And it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. Knowing you have better options in AAA, but you don't want to do it because you might lose Abreu, a guy you've already cut. And I like Abreu. I think he's been better than most people say. The last couple of times he's been bad, and you probably got to stay away from him in the moment from a high leverage situation. But prior to his last two outings, he was throwing the ball well. He throws 100 miles an hour. I have no problem giving him a relatively significant spot in the sixth inning, but he hasn't done the job. And to make sure you can keep him and send down Marinaccio makes no sense. The Yankees are building the best 40-man roster. I know they have a 10-game lead. I'm singing it from the rooftops. I know they have a 10-game lead. I know they're going to the postseason. I know you don't have to panic right now, despite how terrible they look. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't field the best team you can field. And it doesn't mean you make decisions on what's best for the team. And in my opinion, right now, the best thing for this team is Clay Holmes out of the closer role. It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue right now. And you go back to Chapman. It's not hard. You go back to Chapman. He's been great over the last 6 or 7 outings. That's it. He makes $17 million to be the closer. He doesn't have to be the closer in October. That position is clearly fluid right now. Nobody likes bullpen by committee. I understand that, and I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but the closer position right now is fluid. It's fluid. And Clay Holmes cannot be the guy at the moment. Maybe he will come October. Knock on wood, he would, because when he's going his best, I trust him more than I trust Chapman because of his stuff and his sinking ability and the, you know, less likely to give up home runs with his kind of stuff as opposed to what Chapman has done in the postseason. We've seen it. But he makes $17 million. He's the guy. Wandy Peralta is your second best reliever right now. Marinaccio is your third best. He's in the minor league, so it doesn't help you any. But that's the team right now. Chapman's your closer. Peralta's your seventh and eighth high leverage guy. That's it. That's the team. Everyone else falls in after that, and you have to work Clay Holmes in situations until you in less leverage situations until you can get him back to where he was. And maybe he never gets there. I don't know. I'm hoping he will. I don't see any reason why he can't. It seems to just be arm angle. I mean, he's still throwing hard. He's still got movement on that sinker. He just has no idea where it's going right now. You can see from the first pitch, he gets out there after a hard, you know, a game that they're winning the entire game. You feel they're in charge of the entire game. They're pitching great. Yes, they're unable to score runs, but they've gotten some runners on. They left 10 guys on base tonight. They're clearly the better team in this game. They get through the eighth inning. Chapman looks great. They get the first out against the one guy who's just been killing them all year. And then Clay Holmes can't throw a pitch for a strike. And that's and you know what? Honestly, he gets the hard ground ball that if it's hit 2 feet to the left, it's a double play and the Yankees win. That's how it's going for the Yankees right now. And that's not an excuse for Clay Holmes. He was terrible. But the two walks bother me more than the hard hit ground ball because that's what he is. He's a sinker pitcher. And if he gets the hard hit ground ball and it's slightly to the left, then IKF has an easy 6-6-3 double play and the Yankees are winners. But it's not the way it's going right now. That ball is going to find the outfield. They're going to lose this game. That's how it's going for the New York Yankees right now. And it's just, it's hard to explain. It's inexplicable. They went from the best team in baseball and figuring out how to win all these games. They have the most walk-off wins in baseball. They were one-game giants. Every time it was a tight game, they were going to find a way to win. That's who they were for 3 months. And now they're the exact opposite. And they, with this walk-off loss, they've now tied the Red Sox for most walk-off losses in Major League Baseball with 8. They have the most walk-off wins. They have the most walk-off losses. And that's what's frustrating about it. They're not getting their doors blown off. They're not playing ugly. I mean, I know a lot of people were calling it the ugliest game of the season the other night. They made a bunch of bad base running decisions. But they played great defense in that game. Hicks throws out a runner at second. Judge makes a diving catch. Benintendi made a diving catch. They've played good defense. They've pitched well. They haven't hit in the clutch, and everything that can go wrong goes wrong. And right now, they are squeezing the handle of the bat in every tight pressure situation, which is something else when it comes to Boone. Everybody wants to get on Boone. I heard Tiki and Tierney talking about this, that he's too laissez-faire. He's too just, oh, we'll be okay with the New York Yankees. Even in his meeting, he tells the guys, look, we're the New York Yankees. This is the team in the room, and we're good enough to win. He doesn't get heated at his players. He doesn't do this, but over the course of last year, I felt that creep in a little bit. But right now, watching this team, watching them run the bases the way they're running, do you think they're too relaxed? Is that the problem? Is this Yankee team too relaxed? Or are they tight as a drum? Because when you make base running mistakes like that, when you get caught too early trying to double steal in extra innings, when a line drive goes to the second baseman, and instead of making sure it goes through and getting back to the bag, you take off for third, those are trying to do too much. It's trying to do too much. When Gleyber Torres swings from his heels 0-2 with a runner on third and nobody out, that's not too laissez-faire. That's trying to do too much. They've got the ball rolling in the opposite direction, and right now they don't know how to stem the tide. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll find out. But Evan likes to say it. I completely agree. They weren't that good in April and May. They're not this bad now. They need to figure it out. But the immediate reaction to this game is, okay, I understood why you went to Clay Holmes one more time. I was willing to do it. I saw Chapman pitch great. I wasn't going to throw him back out there for the ninth. I don't want to push that. I want him to have a good inning, feel good about himself, continue to move on. But now he's the closer, and Clay is out after this performance. It's enough now. He can't throw strikes. You can't have a closer who can't throw strikes. We've seen it with Chapman. We've seen it now with Holmes. He needs to be out. It's just that simple. And anyone who has any reservations about going to Chapman, for what? What could possibly be worse? How much worse could he do? He gets paid $17 million to be the closer. He's the guy. He's pitching well right now. In a week, I might be having the same conversation about it's time to get Chapman out. I don't know. But right now, you can't have Holmes do it anymore. He's got to be taken out of the closer role. He just has to. And I hope he makes it back, but right now he just can't do it. And you got Montas on the mound tomorrow. Hopefully he can come through. The offense needs to start scoring runs. I mean, we could say whatever we want. The Yankees got more bad news about Stanton. Not necessarily bad news, but no news. He's not ready to run the bases yet. It went from, he's a little sore, needs some time after the All-Star game, to, his Achilles bothered him a little bit, should be a week, to now he can't run the bases 3 weeks later. That's the progression we've made with the Stanton injury. But you need him back in the lineup to lengthen this thing out. Donaldson has a good game here, a bad game there. Torres is in an absolute funk. Hicks does absolutely nothing. Trevino got a couple hits in the game. He's fine as a catcher. But right now they're not coming through in the clutch, and nobody is really the driving force behind the offense except Judge, and the back end of the bullpen's horrible. The starting rotation has started to get it together a little bit, but every game there's something that's going to cost them, whether it's the base running, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's a big at-bat in a big spot. When they play well, which they have for a lot of these games, they've played well for most of the games. They've pitched well. They've played good defense. They've played relatively clean baseball. They can't hit, and the bullpen will blow it in one inning or another. For the first half of the year, they won every close game, and now they're losing every close game, and it's impossible to watch. But having said all that, they have a 10-game lead, and they have 2 months to figure it out. You're worried about trying to catch Houston? They're gone. It's over. They're not going to catch Houston. Houston division stinks. I know they're struggling with the A's, but their division stinks. And the Yankees have the Baltimore Orioles 6-7 games over 500 and now have overtaken the Rays for third place in the division. So the Yankees division is much harder than the Astros. I wouldn't even worry about that anymore. Hold on to the division. Hold on to at least a bye and get to the postseason and see if you could figure it out. And then obviously the other big news is the Zach Wilson injury. We'll get to it on the other side. 877-337-6666. For those of you who don't know, Zach Wilson in the first drive of the game threw a pick. In the second drive of the game, trying to avoid some pressure, ran around a little bit, put his right foot in the ground to try and deke a tackle, and came up limp. Every video doctor out there is telling you it's a torn ACL. Robert Sala said that he thinks or has been told that the ACL is intact, but they're going to have an MRI tomorrow. And we know what he said about Becton, and then it turned out to be much worse. So we're going to keep it, we're not going to read too much into what the coach is saying. It looked like a devastating injury. Non-contact is always dangerous, but we'll get into that as we get through. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on this Friday night into Saturday morning. Mets lose, Yankees lose, a tough break, a heartbreaker, and the Jets might have lost their quarterback to start the year on the first preseason game on the second drive of the year. It's just a wonderful Friday night. Come on board. Let's have some fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sports.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.